Lord, we love you, and we thank you that you are always here with us. God, I just thank you for just reminding us that we never go this alone, that you are always there. Lord, we love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I thought Keith did pretty good. What'd you think? I mean, I could have done it a little better, but, you know, nobody asked. But he asked. Well, Keith and I recently made a plane trip, and this is a true story. And we're coming back from Portland, Oregon. We're flying. And we decide we're going to buy a movie to watch on his computer because it just kills the time great when you're on a plane. And so we made this big plan. I said, all right, now we get on a plane. You sit by the window. I'll sit in the aisle, just look big, and pray nobody sits by us. So we set that computer there, watch the movie. Great plan. But, you know, I'm always thinking ahead. And I said, if somebody tries to sit with us, you scoot over so we can watch the movie, you know. So the last people get on the plane, we're sitting there, and they go by us. And I was like, yeah, yes. And then a few minutes later, some guy comes, anybody sitting here? I was like, scoot over. So Keith scoots over, and this guy sits next to the window, and we watch our movie, and the movie's over, and the guy just wants to talk. Find out he's a Christian, and he goes to some great church around the Portland area, and of course, you know, we're kind of engaged in a little conversation. He finds out we're pastors. He goes, oh, isn't it wild how you judge people? I just thought you were two jerks trying to save the seat. And Keith and I were like, not us. We're pastors. We get to talk to this guy, and he has an amazing testimony of where he had been. And as Keith was singing that last song, it just reminded me, you know, as that guy shared the journey that he had been on. I'm telling you, you know, sometimes when people tell you that their journey and their story, sometimes you're just really trying hard not to flinch. Because I can't fathom going through some of the things that people have had to go through. And this guy just starts talking. He gets teary-eyed. And he's just talking about how God just got him through everything. And it was so powerful to hear him share that story and to share that journey. And just to totally remind us that we're not in this alone. And man, I think Satan really wants to convince us as believers that we're in this alone. Man, that God doesn't really care like he says he does. I mean, he's busy. He's got a lot of other things going on. And he's too concerned about your insignificant life. That's what the enemy tries to tell us. But everywhere I go, I'm reminded. In John, we're finishing up 1 John tonight. And John is reminding these believers that they will never go it alone. They can't, because God has made a promise that he is going to be with them. In verse 13, he says this in chapter 5, 1 John. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. That you can know that. That you can be sure of that. You can be certain of that. Because there's a lot that we cannot be certain of. I mean, none of us know tomorrow what roadblock is going to be in the way. None of us know what tomorrow holds or down the road. None of us know that. And these believers didn't know that. And John said, but I want to tell you something. There is one thing that you can be certain of, and it's this. It's the most important thing. Like, of all the things, if you could make a list of what you wanted to be certain of, this would be the thing you would want to be certain of. That as a believer in Jesus, you do not have to worry about what happens at the end of this life. You don't have to worry about that. I mean, this is a powerful thing, and you can be certain. He says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Because this is a huge deal. This is the biggest thing. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to have uncertainty there, because if you know Jesus, you have a relationship with Jesus, your sin has been forgiven, then know this, you have eternal life, and nothing, nobody can take that away from you. Now I'm going to tell you, that's an incredible assurance. I mean, that we can know that we can live in that we can have that confidence and that hope. And it even continues to the point of then we can share that hope with other people. Now, this is a big deal. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. And you know, and I think it begs a question. And I think the question would be, what about those who don't believe in the name of the Son of God? And it's kind of odd, but this is always kind of a tough thing. You can tell when you're up here preaching, you can tell real easily what jokes just didn't work, you know, and what worked well. And you can tell what truth is just totally embraced and what truth is kind of kept at arm's length. And we love to hear that if you have a relationship with Jesus, you have certainty of heaven. But what's the reverse truth of that is that if you don't, there is no certainty of heaven. A matter of fact, there's the opposite certainty that you are headed on a road to hell. And you can always tell when you're up here preaching and you even say the word hell, whether you even realize it or not, a lot of us are like, we don't like to hear about that. And I think one of the reasons we struggle with the opposite version of that truth is because it means you and I have an incredible responsibility. And John is reminding these believers, and it's twofold. I want you to know you have Jesus, you have heaven. That's an incredible thing. But I want you to know you have Jesus and you should be giving him away. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. Pastor Jeff and I spent a little time off today and we were talking because the ending here in 1 John 5 is full of some really tough stuff. I'll try to cover some of it and then there's some of it I'm not even going to because I just don't have a clue. But I want to walk through this with you. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. You know what I find when I read that? That is a truth we love to embrace, but I'm afraid it's a misunderstood truth. Because it does not mean so I can ask for anything I want. That's not what John is saying here. How many of you know that that is not true? And how do you know it's not true? I'll tell you how I know, because I'm not married to the girl I met in first grade. God in His wisdom did not see fit for me to spend the rest of my life with her, and she's probably wonderful and all that, but I've not got everything that I've asked for. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything, what does it say? According to His will, He hears us, whatever we ask, and we know that we have what we asked of Him. I think that the painful part of this truth is that if it's in His will, He will absolutely answer that prayer. He'll answer what we've asked of Him. And so I spend time, and you always hear me talk about this a lot, spend a lot of time in marriage counseling and premarital counseling. And I tell Ray, premarital counseling is just a racket because nobody's coming to you to decide if they're going to get married. The rings are bought, the date is set, the facility's rented, and tell us a few things that will help us. And a lot of times what I want to say is, run! Run! Don't do it! And you know, somebody had said that to me, wouldn't have mattered. You know, some guy did try to tell me, now it's going to be tough for you and Mildred sometimes. I'm like, are you kidding? She's getting me. I mean, how tough, you know, can that be? She's got it made, you know? But you know, I never dreamed that we would have some of the times that we've had. I never dreamed that. I mean, because it's been rough. It's gotten really difficult. And one of the things I think we miss in that, so people tell me all the time, well, I'm praying that God will restore my marriage. Well, I think that's a great prayer. But I think sometimes we pray with the wrong priorities. Because I have a lot of people praying that God will save their marriage, but they're not praying that God will make them who He wants them to be. And that's usually connected to the problem of why the marriage isn't working out. And so the first priority is that I'm a follower of Jesus. Did you know I'm a follower of Jesus before I'm a husband? And I'm a follower of Jesus. It's going to be hard for some of you, especially some of you mommies. I'm a follower of Jesus before I'm a dad. And a follower of Jesus before you are a mother. I'm a follower of Jesus. And I've got to spend my time and invest myself into what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And it's so important. John's telling him, listen, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Where am I going with this? It's His will that you be the son or the daughter that He's called you to be. That's His will. So if you prayed tonight to God, help me to be the follower that I need to be, guess what? That's according to His will. And He will help you. He will help you. And there'll be choices along the way. Some choices God's going to say, now don't do that. And what are we going to do? Try not to do it. Some of you weren't sure what to say. A lot of you just said, we do it. That's the problem. Because God doesn't set these things up for random just to show that He's big or that He has control over us. That's not why God has done. He does this because He wants us to have life. Right before the passage before, it says this: anyone who does not believe God has made anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because he does not believe what? He's not believed the testimony God has given about His Son. And this is the testimony. This is what God has told us about the Son. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. And then the Bible says this: he who has the Son has life. He who has the Son has life. I love that. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And then he goes on to say, I want you to have this confidence. I want you to understand that heaven is a certainty if you're a follower of Jesus. I want you to know that you can approach God and ask anything according to His will, and He hears it, and you'll have what you ask for if it's according to His will. And I really want you to hear that. And I really want to, I think this is a tough passage, because somebody could just stand up and get upset and say, yeah, but it says whatever I ask. But it doesn't say that. It says anything you ask according to His will. And so I know people who are praying for their marriage, but they refuse to be the husband or wife that God's called them to be. And so we miss that. And so my priority and my prayer as I'm praying for my marriage, the first thing I have to pray in my marriage is that I'll be the husband that God wants me to be. And I'm going to just be honest with you. That's tough some days. Because on the days she won't be the wife God wants her to be, I still have to be the husband God wants me to be. There's no exemptions. I don't say, well, God, the reason I'm doing this is because look at her. I can't pull an Adam, right? Well, God, it was Eve. Eve's the one who took the fruit and ate it. And, you know, I didn't want her to feel bad. And, you know, I mean, it doesn't work that way. I've got to be who God has called me to be. And so what I ask has to be according to His will. Now, you know what's tough about this message tonight? There are some good things that I've wanted, that I've asked for, that obviously didn't flesh with the will of God. And that's tough. That is really tough. I'm probably one of the greatest crises in my personal faith is when my grandmother passed away. And I prayed so hard and fervently that she would live. And you know what? That wasn't according to God's will. And that was tough. I mean, that was tough to go through that. It was tough to say, well, God, where are you? God, I'm asking for this. You know, God, where are you in this? And so this is kind of tough. And you know what I think John's doing? He's preparing God's people. He's saying, so when you pray, you know what? Think about what you're praying. And try your best to pray. And I heard Henry Blackaby say this: pray with no will of your own. You know what I found? That is really hard to do. It's hard to pray with no will of my own. Because I don't always like saying, and God, whatever you want, that will be acceptable to me. I always have a plan. Let me tell you, God, I've got this mapped out, and if you'll do this, and then this, and this, this, you know, then it'll be the way I want it to be. And our faith doesn't work like that. God is in control. God is in control. And so I face life. I face disappointments with God. I just out of curiosity, how many of you have ever been disappointed with God? And that's tough when you go through that. You know, I don't really find anywhere in the Bible where it says, and don't ever be disappointed with God. A lot of people, you know, a lot of people say, I'm mad at God. And anybody ever been mad at God? And that's tough to admit here on a Wednesday night at church. But you know, I've been mad at God sometimes. And you know why a lot of times I get mad at God? Because what I've asked for wasn't according to His will. and things didn't work out the way that I wanted, or I did what he told me not to do, and I'm very unhappy with the consequences of that. Anybody ever been there? Being really confessional tonight, aren't we? Only 7 of you have ever been there. The rest of you are really holy. John, he's encouraging them. He's saying, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. So I want to hit a couple of things. So here's the lesson. Learn to pray according to God's will. So how do you do that? I don't know if I could give a lesson on that tonight, because I'm learning that in my journey, to be able to say, in God, whatever you want in this situation, you make it come to pass. And in the meantime, I'll be faithful and I'll be obedient. So God, whatever you want, I'm going to tell you, if you can learn to pray that way and really mean it, it makes for an incredible prayer life. And you know what? Can I just be really honest with you? It helps with the disappointment too. It helps. Because I've said, God, whatever you want to have happen here, God, you do that. And it's hard, because since I've mentioned marriage, it's hard because some of you probably are sitting here tonight and there's been a marriage that's dissolved, a marriage that didn't work out the way you wanted, and you prayed for that and all that. Here's the tough thing about marriage. You're only in control of you. And whoever you're married to or were married to, they can do whatever they want. There's consequences for that, but they can do that. And guess what? So I pray, God, whatever you want to do in this, you do it. You do that. And so I've met people who went through a tough divorce. And because the other spouse wasn't willing to be obedient to God, God totally blessed the other spouse in the long run. Everybody hear that? Because it's not easy. It's not easy. But in the long run, there was faithfulness and obedience, and God blessed that. And so that's how we get through those disappointments. That's how we get through those tough times. God, no matter what, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be obedient to what you're asking. I want to skip down verse 16 and 17. I'll read to you. If anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray and God will give him life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death, and I'm not saying that he should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death. I've read and read. I even talked to one of the wisest men I know, Jeff Reynolds, And there's a lot to this, and let me make this promise. I'll come back one day and we'll talk about this. But I just have to tell you, I'm not ready to talk about it tonight, because I have way more questions than I have answers about these two verses. And so I don't even want to confuse us by trying to act like that I have an answer. And that's what I've done most of my life, is acted like I have an answer. And that works a lot of the time. But I don't want to do that tonight, because I don't want to muddy the water of what I think God is telling us tonight. So I will come back to that another time. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world, did everybody hear this? And the whole world is under the control of the evil one. You know, one thing I've teased about on Wednesday night is that there's a lot of repetition. And the reason there's a lot of repetition is because we don't always get it. I was driving out to Pastor Keith's house the other night and had my 5-year-old daughter with me, and we're having this wonderful spiritual conversation. We're talking about Jesus and all this stuff, and I'm thinking, hey, this is a great moment. I've shared some basic things, and I just stopped while we're driving. I said, now, Molly, do you have any questions for Daddy? And she goes, yes. And I'm like, hey, this is awesome. She says, why do flies eat poop? And I told her, like, as I told you about the two verses, I said, you know, I'm going to come back to that one, Molly. I have more questions than answers myself. And that's why there's a lot of repetition, because sometimes I read something and that's like what comes into my mind. Stuff like that. And so we repeat this, and John is going back and he's going back over this again. The one who is born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We keep hearing this over and over, and John's really addressing this issue. I want you to know there's going to be a lot of stuff happen, and the reason it happens is because you are not home. You don't belong here. You're a stranger passing through if you're a follower of Jesus. Let me tell you the good news. The good news is this place isn't home. And that is good news, because I'm tired of watching the news. And I'm tired of children being abused and abandoned and people being murdered and the way that humans treat each other. I'm tired of that. But you know what God's Word says? The whole world is under the control of the evil one. And you know how that's good news if you're a follower of Jesus? This isn't home. It's going to get better. No question. It is going to get better. But in the meantime, while you're here on the planet, it's going to get tough. It's going to get tough. There's only one reason that the enemy has control over the whole world. And I'm about to tell you why. And I just want you to know it's not easy for me to swallow this, but it's true. The only reason the enemy has control over the whole world is because God has allowed him to. It's not because the enemy is more powerful than God or as powerful of God, but God has allowed the enemy to have control over the whole world. The only thing you could say to that, the only thing we could do is say, well, why has God done that? This is why, because we're not home. And so it's not God's desire to make this life all pretty and pain-free, because if it was that way, we'd call it heaven. But it's not. And so in the meantime, there's a world that's dying and going to hell. They do not know Jesus. They don't have a relationship with Jesus. And our mission while we are on the planet is to be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. And to live our lives in a way that people would see Jesus in our lives. And God would use that to open up their hearts to the possibilities of what the gospel brings. And so it's tough. And why we're here, it's tough. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. And our confidence is not in what we ask for. Our confidence is not even in that, hey, things will get better. Our confidence is in Jesus Christ, the only one who paid the price so that our sin could be forgiven. Now, I know you've been coming on Wednesday night. We've been going through 1 John, and you've been hearing this over and over and over. But the reason it's important is because, you know what? Forget that there's a world that's dying and going to hell. There's people you and I love that don't have a relationship with Jesus. And I just firmly believe God's placed them in our lives so that we would be faithful to share that. One of my favorite things about this church is every Sunday and Wednesday when I meet people, typically the way people get to Hillview Heights Church, you don't see a lot of advertising for our church. You don't. So I think we are in the phone book. I think we're in the phone book. But you know how people get here? People bring them. People bring them. And can I say this? And let me say two things that will sound contradictory. So bring people. Invite people to come. But know this, your invitation to come to church is not a substitute for asking them to come to Jesus. It's not a substitute. It's not my job as your pastor to lead your friends and your family to Christ. That's not my job. It's not Pastor Jeff's job. The Bible says we're here to equip the saints to do the work of ministry. Raise your hand if you're a saint. You know, I didn't think there'd be a lot of takers on that. Raise your hand if you're a follower of Jesus. You're a saint. That's how it works. I know you don't look like it, you don't smell like it, but you are a saint. Because I can smell you from here. No, I'm kidding. And so that's what you're supposed to do. No substitute for us inviting people to come to Jesus. That's what our lives should be an invitation for people to come to Jesus. I've loved preaching through 1 John, and I've loved it because there's so just many basic truths that I think we have to come to terms with. Because I've told you, anytime I've mentioned that you can be certain of your salvation, I always get negative emails from people who say, you can't be certain of that. If you got sin in your life, you're not going to be saved anymore. Well, if you believe that tonight, you have a gross misunderstanding of the grace of God. Because it's not grace to give it and to take it back. That's not grace. That means you earn it. And you can make all the arguments you want for that, but you cannot earn your salvation. God won't let you. I heard a great illustration about a guy who was in prison. He was wrongly accused. And one of the best lawyers in the country heard about this. And that lawyer came to that man's defense and said, I want you to know, I'm going to represent you. And so the friends went to the guy who was in prison and said, we've talked to this lawyer, named his name, most powerful lawyer in the country, and he's going to represent you. And the prisoner was disappointed. He still had a sad look on his face. And they asked the question. He said, why are you disappointed? He said, I can't afford that lawyer. He said, no. Here's the good news. He's going to represent you for free. He's not going to charge because this is not right. And he's going to represent you. And there were all these questions that I heard ask about it. Because your money's not good enough to earn the work of that lawyer. Your money's not good. You don't have enough. It's not precious enough. And so what Jesus has for us, we cannot earn. And Jesus doesn't give it conditionally. He doesn't say, here's a free gift of salvation, but you better do these 9 things or these 10 things. You better do those or I'm taking it back. That's not grace. That means by the end of the deal, I've earned what I got. See, it wouldn't be grace for me to give you something. Say, I just really want you to have this and you can just give me $10 a month for it. One, it's not a gift because you're earning it. And so by the end of the deal, you can just forget about me because what you have in your hands, you paid for. It's yours. But I want you to know you can't pay for what Jesus did. You can't earn what Jesus did. It's a gift and it's a gift of grace. And once that gift is given to you, you can't give it back. He's not going to take it back. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know you have eternal life. Why would that be written if it wasn't true? And what John is saying is, you know who's revealed these things to us? God. God has revealed Jesus to us. Nobody else has. God has done that. And what we know about Jesus, we know because the Father has revealed it to us. And so I know some of you are going to struggle with that tonight. And some of you struggle with it because you don't feel like you deserve salvation. And can I just really help you tonight? None of us deserve it. Grace is defined as unmerited favor. So you can't earn it. You can't earn it. It's the gift of God. I want to close by telling you this story. And I know I've told it sometime before, but I think we were in the chapel when I told it the last time. But it's such a powerful story. And I love what John says. He who has the Son has life. And I want you to know how powerful that is. So I heard a story about an artist who had these incredible paintings. The paintings were very valuable. And the artist was bringing up his son in the trade. And the son was learning to paint. Well, the country went to war, and the son had to go off with the army. And while the son was in battle, he was killed. And so what happened, for the rest of that father's life, he painted, but his paintings were never made public. So he'd just spend hours in the house just painting and just putting his paintings away. But the father was given a picture of his son on the battlefield. And so the father, his prize piece, according to him, according to the will that he left, was the painting that he did of his son in his uniform and on the battlefield. Well, years later, when the father passed away, the will that the father stipulated was basically that there would be an auction for the paintings. And so they held this big auction and people came from all over the world to try to purchase one of these paintings. But the will stipulated that the first painting to be sold would be the painting of his son in his uniform on the battlefield. And so the auctioneer started and said, we may give $100. And here's all these incredibly wealthy people, but they weren't there for that painting. They were there for all the popular paintings that the father had painted. And the auctioneer said, $100. And nobody took that. And the auctioneer said, we may give $75. Nobody. $50. And finally, the auctioneer says, we may give $10 for this painting. And there had been a gardener that worked in the father's house. And the gardener, who knew the son, raised his hand and he said, I'll buy the painting of the son. And after he did that, the auctioneer slammed down the gavel and he said, okay, the auction's over. And everybody was disappointed. And they wanted to know what happened. And the auctioneer said, it's in the Father's will. He who gets the Son gets it all. And it's true for me and for you that if we get the Son, we get it all. Our sin forgiven. Abundant life. Somebody to wipe our tears away. Somebody to be with us through the midst of the storm. Somebody to walk through us with the valley and carry us to the mountaintop. He who gets the Son gets it all. That's what John is saying. That's what John is writing. There is nothing more splendid, more beautiful, more majestic than Jesus. And if you have Him, you'll have everything. And you know what I found in my relationship with Jesus? I might could try to make an argument that I don't have it all, but the truth is that I do. I have all the certainty anybody on the earth would want. I have such an incredible future. If people could get a glimpse of the future that I have, they would want it. That through all those dark times, Jesus has been there with me, and He's carried me. He's even given me peace in the midst of the storm. I mean, how's that for crazy? A peace that even surpasses understanding. That when I don't even understand what's going on, I can have a peace about that. It's in the Father's will. He who gets the Son gets it all. Some of us are here tonight. We haven't been living our lives that way. We've been living defeated lives. We've really focused on what we don't have instead of on what we do. And so, you know, the altar tonight is that we just need to be thankful. As John was writing all this, I don't know what you've gotten out of this sermon series, but one of the things God's challenging me on is to be thankful. To be thankful for what God has done, and to be thankful that God has been there, and to be thankful for the blessings, even in the midst of the storm. To be thankful. And I think it's one of the most refreshing things that we could come to the altar tonight just with hearts of thankfulness, just thanking God. On the way back home from Keys, my daughter fell asleep, which means she wasn't talking. And I just looked at her and I just thought, thank you, God, for a little girl asleep in the passenger seat. Thank you for her. And I just want to be thankful, and I want to have a thankful heart. I want to be grateful for what God has done, because I'm telling y'all, He's done so much. He's done so much. And I want us to be thankful. I want us to be grateful. And I don't want to focus on the storms. I want to focus on the valleys. I just want to know that God was there every step of the way, and I never have to go it alone. Never. Never. No matter who leaves me, I never have to go it alone. And no matter what life takes from me, I never have to go it alone. And if you're here tonight and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I want to tell you, right now the life you're living is on a road that leads to hell. And there's nothing you can do to pay to be on another road. There's not enough good things you can do that would get you on another road. Only the Son can do that. Only Jesus can do that. And I really want you to hear that, because you're going to have to wrestle with this person, Jesus. Because what He has for you, you can't earn. But He will freely give it to you if you'll trust Him. If you invite Him to come into your life, believe that He is the Son of God and that He died and rose again, and you repent of your sin, and He will forgive you. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And so if you think this world is painful, wait till the life to come if you don't have Jesus. And so I'd invite you tonight. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, if you're not sure if you have a relationship with Jesus, I'd love to pray with you. And there'll be people coming up here to pray, so you can just get in the mix of the people coming up. And I'll be up here and I'd love to talk to you and to pray with you. Father God, we love You so much. And Lord, I pray that we would be thankful, and I pray that we would be grateful, because You've been there every step of the way. I thank You for the certainty that we can have. And when I know that what's to come is so incredible, it gives me so much more peace in living this life. It gives me strength to do what You've called me to do. And it gives me a burden to share it with others. So may we be thankful. May we be grateful. And God, I pray tonight, because I know there are folks here tonight that don't have a relationship with You. They've never invited You to come into their life. And I pray tonight they would take their life out of their hands and they would put their life in Yours. So, Lord Jesus, we love You. And we thank You for who You are. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. The altar is open. So you come. with a thankful heart, a grateful heart. Come with questions. We'd love to pray with you.
Holy, uncreated one, your beauty fills the skies. But the glory of your majesty.